Grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our hearing this morning is based in the Old Testament, Isaiah 61, with emphasis on verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear Christian friends, what would it be like to live in a world where there was nothing to look forward to? Every day would be a day without sunshine, no brightness, only shadows. What hope is there where there would be no mother or father to say to a small child as they take him in their arms and say, "I love you"? What might it be like where tomorrow brings just more of the same old thing that we have today? What would it be like maybe looking forward to more chemo or radiation therapy, and yet the prognosis for cancer remains grim, or spending yet another 24 long hours in a nursing home, day after day with no one to visit you, feeling useless, abandoned because no one cares? What would it be like to live in a world where the bills keep piling up and the bank account keeps running out, and then on top of that, there's a pink slip on your desk? You see, dear Christian friends, the fear for many people in our world today is not whether or not tomorrow will come. In fact, it's just the opposite. Many fear that tomorrow will come, bringing the same old despair and hopelessness which they live in and experience today. Only despair and hopelessness. And this even happens to Christians. What about those who don't believe in Jesus Christ? Where is their certainty? Where is their hope? Where is their future? You see, these are just some of the effects caused by sin and living in a world completely broken by sin. It has caused a separation from God. Where there once was true hope and security, sin destroyed and dashed all hope for you and for me. And where there is no hope, dear Christian friends, there is no real and certain future. People are made slaves for today with no hope in the future. And like the people in Isaiah's day, our sins have also separated us from God and all the goodness that he wanted to shower upon us, facing the reality of an eternity separated from God, pricked the hearts of the people of Isaiah, so much so that they were moved to confess their sins. We hear in Isaiah 59, "We look for light, but all is darkness, for brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope along the wall, feeling our way like men without eyes." What is a person supposed to do when his soul bothers him? Well, we are told that we are to confess our sins. And yet even the strongest Christian has his day where it seems as if the peace of God eludes him, where doubts continue to creep up once again in the heart. And dear friends, if this has not happened to you, which I can hardly believe because we all are human, but dear brothers, if this hasn't happened to you, be certain of this, that when the Lord places you in the parish to preach and to minister amongst his redeemed people, there will be members of the congregation who want to sit down with you with these very same concerns and worries. Worries like, why is mom in the nursing home, feeling lonely day after day? Why is it, Pastor, that my dad's cancer is not going away? There's no treatment to help, and it's not a matter of weeks, but only days. What about when that person comes up to you and says that my husband has come home again and abused me, either physically or verbally? Or when a husband comes home and finds that his wife has packed his bags and left, what hope, What certainty? What future is there? What good news can be given? This reading in Isaiah points to Jesus Christ. Yes, God knows our heartaches. God knows our struggles and the tribulations that stir up in our consciences day after day. And yet God is a loving God who did not want us to live day after day with no hope or future. And that is why he sent Jesus Christ into this world, into our time, from heaven above. And that's the glorious gospel in Isaiah this day, because God's hope was made flesh to dwell among us. He was sent into this world not only to preach good news for the future, but Jesus Christ also put his word into action for you and for me to do something about the state of affairs so that there is indeed hope today as we look to the future. Christ came to proclaim the day of God's vengeance and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor was an event set forth by God that took place every 50th year on the Day of Atonement. That's recorded in Leviticus. This was also known as the Year of Jubilation. It was during this time that the indentured servants and slaves were proclaimed free and released from any debt that was left to pay. And now they could go back to their families, free, with true freedom. And yet this year of the Lord's favor pointed to even a greater day where vengeance, atonement for sin, and freedom all happened at the same time. The day of our God's vengeance happened on Good Friday when Jesus Christ came to be our substitute on the cross. Jesus Christ, who received the vengeance of the Lord and paid the penalty in full for our sins. And not only that, but because Jesus Christ has taken the punishment, we now have been forgiven all of our sins. We heard that in the absolution. I now forgive you your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The shackles of sin which once bound our hearts have now been freed, and we are free indeed, released from any and all guilt of the past. That is the glorious news from Jesus Christ. But it even goes further than that. Since Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we also have the hope of a glorious future with Jesus Christ our Lord in his kingdom, which has no end. As Christians, then, we lead a life of repentance. Indeed, we are to confess our sins, especially those that trouble our hearts and stir up our conscience. However, we will not find comfort in our confession per se, but in the promises, the word, and the work of Jesus Christ made certain. Jesus Christ, who has released and freed us. His freedom is sure. Christ has broken forth into this world to proclaim that release. You are forgiven. And not only that, he has broken into your life as well, dear Christian friends, on that day of your baptism. You have been set free and transformed. There in baptism is where Christ bestowed on you his crown of beauty. There is where Christ anointed you with his oil of gladness. There in baptism is where Christ exchanged your sin-stained robe for his white robe of righteousness, transplanting you from the kingdom of hopelessness to the kingdom of God for glory. And this is the good news that Christ proclaims and that preachers are to preach in the church. And as our hearts might still continue to bother us, the Lord continues to break forth into our world and life even this day as he delivers his body and his blood, it bound in bread and wine, his very same blood that was shed for you to grant you assurance this day of release from any and all guilt or shame, his very same body and blood given for you on the cross. So that not only does he promise you a more glorious future, but now you have his word on it today. Dear friends, in a world that offers hopelessness. Indeed, Jesus Christ gives us a reason to rejoice today with certain hope as we look to the future. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And you are freed, and you continue to receive God's favor through Christ. Look every day to Jesus and his gift that he continues to bestow upon you, so that you believe his holy word, live before God in righteousness and purity, not only this day, but tomorrow and the day after and hereafter in eternity. To Jesus be the glory forever and ever. Amen.